Also means he'll die as well. All for nothing. Just get out the jack.
I got an idea, mister.
What?
I'm Todd Keeler, original from Lubbock in Texas.
Buddy's birthplace.
I wouldn't know him, I'm afraid.
You got an idea? What's your idea?
I got some jack on me, but some of those good guys in there are loaded, and I mean loaded.
So?
I mean, there's a dry goods man from Topeka, Big Nate Newcomb, carrying a wad of jack big enough to sink the Golden Eagle. Says he's gonna blow it all on sluts.
So what?
Let me go back in and I can tell him. I mean, not tell him about you. Someone wants to see him out here. One of us conventioneers, like, and then he'll come out, and you can take him, and you'll get more jack than I got. A lot more, mister. How about that for an idea? Good one, huh?
A friend of mine from way back had a saying. Blaster in your hands with the whole armory locked away in the ville. Give me what you got, and don't hold back.
Oh, but I don't have much. Oh!
Give me your jack.
All right, mister. No call for that.
He reached out in the stinking darkness, pushing a thick roll of jack into Ryan's left hand. Without seeing it, Ryan knew that it was a sizable pile, enough for their plans to ride the sternwheeler. He stuffed it into his coat pocket, keeping the gun steady on Todd Keeler's chest.
Good move. Means you get to stay alive to enjoy the convention.
You won't chill me?
No.
Won't hurt me?
Well, now, I can't promise that.
The merchant slumped forward slightly. Ryan steadied him on the seat, leaning him back so that a casual glance would make it seem as if he had fallen asleep while doing his business. Ryan walked across the alley where he collected Doc, Christy, and Mildred.
All right, lover?
Fine. I mean, fine.
He pulled off the balaclava and unknotted the kerchief, giving it back to Doc.
We'll go and get our tickets when the boat docks tomorrow. Let's move.
Jack and JB went to the Montana Queen after an early breakfast to tell Dolores that they were quitting. With nothing else to do, Ryan went along with them. First thing he noticed was that the woman seemed edgy, not wanting to look him in the eye.
Sorry to lose you guys. Lent some steel and muscle in here. Handled yesterday well.
It's a shame about the deaths.
Happens. Law and Twin Forks couldn't punch their way out of a wet paper bag. You get a serious problem, you have to deal with it yourself, best way you can. Doesn't always mean doing the right thing, just the safest thing. Way of living.
Way of the world. Same in most places in Deathlands.
You going to take a trip upriver on the Golden Eagle? To Crosstown?
Yeah. Something we've all fancied one time or another. They say the Eagle flies higher than the other sternwheelers.
Flies high. Sure does. But it's a rare trip that bodies don't go over the side.
Ryan felt the short hairs prickling at his nape. Over the years of surviving on the knife edge, he'd learned to listen for the unspoken thoughts that lay behind the spoken words. There was something going on with Dolores Stanwyck.
You think we shouldn't go?
No, not my business what you do.
You got something more to say, Dolores? Best you tell us if you know something. Or it might go hard with you when we come back and find you lied to us.
Hey, mister, just back off.
Her reaction made Ryan realize two things. That he was right in having a suspicion, and that he played it wrong by trying to pressure her.
Ryan?
It's all right. Just got a feeling. You see, I was wrong. Sorry about that, Dolores.
She was flushed, blinking fast, looking past Ryan to a trio of her girls who were over by the bar.
All right, Ryan. Just don't like being accused of something I haven't done. And I've done nothing.
Sure. Sure.
Ryan turned away. Maybe we'll call in and see you on the way home again. They walked back toward the boarding house where the others were waiting for them.
What's that about? You picking on her. Seems like a good woman to me. Tough. Honest.
I won't argue with that, Jack. But there was something going on under the surface. She was tense and nervy. I just got the feeling that something had happened that made her like that. And it involved us and going on the paddle boat. But she's been around too long to give it up easy. And I didn't feel confident enough to try dragging it out of her.
They were walking along a street that ran parallel to the river.
Sounds like a big boat coming in.
The Golden Eagle? Said it with Doc sometime this morning. Sails up River Dawn tomorrow. We should go aboard and book our cabins early. They reckon that she fills up fast.
Ryan allowed an hour and a half for the boat to discharge her passengers and freight, then went along on his own to make the bookings. When he came out onto the quay, he was impressed at the sheer size of the vessel. She loomed over the warehouse, her twin funnels trickling a pillar of dark smoke. Ryan guessed that they probably kept the large boiler stoked with wood even when she was in port, saving the tedious process of cooling down and refiring. There was a steady stream of men working up and down three gangplanks, and a steam-powered hoist was swinging netted boxes of cargo into the bright morning air. A sign pointing to a fourth walkway read tickets. Ryan walked onto the boat, feeling the spring of the gangplank under his boots. Away on the far side of the river, in the round tower, the sun glinted off the telescope as it moved lazily around to focus on the Golden Eagle. A stocky, bareheaded man in a dark blue pea jacket, a line of gold braid on his cuffs, was leaning against the iron rail, smoking a black cheroot.
Morning. Booking on with us tomorrow?
Yeah. Where do I go?
Along to the second companionway. White door, number 7 on the right. Along the passage and down the first stairs. See a green door on your left. Purser, it says. You're good and early, mister.
I heard you get busy.
Golden Eagle's always busy. She's the best. What's your business? Don't look like a card man. Going upriver to hunt the stickies?
Just for pleasure. Me and 5 friends. What's the word on the stickies?
There's mines and plantations up water. Rumor has it that the fat man's involved.
Wolfram?
They say. Say the Magus is with him, but nobody's ever seen them in the flesh. Just whispering in shadows.
Same as always happens with them. And they got trouble with stickies?
Lots of breakouts. Killings. Difficult to keep them working even when they're chained. Muties like that got no regard for their lives. Makes it tough to hold them under.
I heard that.
Pardon us.
A couple of young women, wearing too much makeup, pushed past him with a wink and a grin at the officer.
Ladies.
They went along in the direction that the man had indicated for purchasing tickets.
Are they regulars aboard?
Dolly and her sister, Julianne. Kind of hard-working girls, if you take my meaning.
I sure do. Well, let's get my cabins booked. I'll see you around.
The purser was only about 15, making a valiant effort to grow a beard, which led to his being ruthlessly teased by the pair of whores.
Why try and cultivate those straggly little hairs, Sonny, when they grow wild around your ass?
Cut it out, Dolly, I'm working.
The lad blushed ferociously. One of the women noticed Ryan and nudged him.
Fancy a cabin share, honey? Bunk up together all the way to Crosstown. Show us some generous Jack and you could have me and my sister together. Just to yourself. Best deal in Twin Forks.
I already got me some company, ladies, but thanks for the offer.
The trader used to say you should always be polite to waiters and whores.
What'll it be, mister?
Ryan read the choices on the board behind the youth.
Top deck berths near the stern on the starboard side. I'd like to reserve a row of 3 outside doubles.
He then read the price.
Huh. Cabins don't come cheap on the Golden Eagle.
Nothing does, sir. 2 meals a day included, liquors extra. Here's your tickets. We sail at dawn. That'll be around 6 tomorrow morning. Don't be late. Get your baggage aboard today if you can. Golden Eagle doesn't wait for nobody.
The sky was just beginning to lighten with the false dawn, and the streets and alleys were thronged with fellow passengers, all making their way out onto the quay to join the long lines at the gangways. In the gloom, the brightly lit boat seemed even bigger.
She's enormous! Just like the old pictures I've seen of them back in the 1800s. Like a dream come true.
The outlanders joined the long line.
Looks like there's some real swift and evil bastards and bitches coming along with us.
Ryan had already noticed that. A good half of the men, and many more of the females, looked as if they earned their jack by dubious means. There were also some of the departing merchants, leaving after their ill-fated convention, visibly a little uncomfortable among the proliferating lower classes, keeping to themselves in small, nervous groups. The overworked purser peeked at their tickets as they entered the steam wheeler. He pointed up a ladder and toward the back of the immense boat.
You're all on the starboard side, 31 to 33.
How long before we sail?
The man glanced at a silver turnip watch dangling from a chain across his midriff.
Should be 6. Crowd we got coming on, it'll be nearer to 7.
We get to Crosstown when?
The man pointed irritably to a schedule printed on a large board behind him.
You got eyes, ladies. Use them.
It showed Cairo, Illinois, at the junction of the Ohio, in a day and a half. Another day and a half to St. Louis.